Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to be with you today to share the latest on health and healing. From the University of Southern California comes a study about green tea. Now, we know that there are thousands and thousands of different studies in the National Library of Medicine, peer-reviewed, that show it does everything from helping with cancer prevention, or if you have cancer, from having it spread, to stimulating your immune system. It's just terrific. But in this case, the study showed that green tea can heal neurodegenerative conditions like Alzheimer's. So what we're finding is there's an awful lot of people, I mean a lot of people, who are now approaching the age where they're manifesting memory loss, dementia, and Alzheimer's. And there's one remedy, it's natural, non-toxic, that can help that. It's one piece of a puzzle. I'm not saying it's a cure-all, but we deal with all these different pieces that we didn't know before fit into the healing matrix. And this has been used for the millennia. It's both as a ceremonial and medicinal drink. And there's little doubt that green tea is one of the world's greatest healing elixirs. Its true powers are still being uncovered by modern science, and a recent study only adds to the long list of potential benefits. According to the research published in the Distinguished Biochemical and Biophysical Research Communications Journal, green tea catechins, that's C-A-T-E-C-H-I-N-S, those are the chemicals in the green tea, may be able to assist the brain in healing and potentially even assisting in the prevention and treatment of neurodegenerative conditions, Huntington's, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, ALS, and these are serious conditions. Specifically, the study sought to investigate how catechins from green tea may work to increase brain-derived neurotrophic factor, or what is called BDNF, or the activity of a nerve growth factor that is essential for the growth, maintenance, and survival of neurons. It's believed that catechins are able to increase this process, meaning have you have more, healthier of the neurons in your brain. And that's important. And the EGCG, those are the chemicals in green tea, the active components, they're known as polyphenols, and they're able to reach the brain, indicating the need for greater research into just how the EGCG is used in the brain, but we know it makes a difference. So continue having your green tea, and it will help you with your neurons. It'll help keep your brain younger and healthier longer because it's neuroprotective. And the polyphenols is what does it. So that's just something that we didn't know, and now we do. So one more reason to use green tea. Now, there's also a good study from the University of Delaware that shows a link between greater gestational vitamin D in blood with reduced childhood behavioral issues. If you work indoors, you live in the north, if you avoid the sun, if you're lactose intolerant, if you're vegan, if you're elderly or darker skinned, chances are you may be deficient in vitamin D3. It's a common problem affecting as many as 25% of all Americans. And according to a recent study, deficiency rates are even higher among Black Americans, reaching 60%. And vitamin D is listed as a nutrient of concern in the U.S. dietary guidelines, meaning low levels of vitamin D3 during pregnancy could have negative child health outcomes. That's according to the professor of behavioral health and nutrition at University of Delaware. This was published in the Journal of Nutrition. So if you want to have a healthier child with healthier behavior, then you have to be a healthier mother. It was interesting because I counseled a whole group in a health support group about 35 years ago. The problem was they weren't able to have natural conception. And their doctors said that they should have synthetic means to help them. But that's not always good. And so we went on a six-month program. We met every week. And the idea was to change everything that could change the impact of your sperm if you're a man, and your eggs, and your overall health if you're the woman. As a result of this, people who had not been able to have pregnancy and conceive or go to full term had healthy children. Now, that's just one study. It was a small study. Didn't mean anything to the rest of the scientific community. But for me, the anecdotal evidence, meaning when I'm working with someone one-on-one or I'm doing a small study, is very important. Because if none of the people had been able to conceive after that, I would have said, okay, then there's something else that has to be done other than lifestyle behavior modification. For example, I found that alcohol in any amount caused the sperm to lose a lot of their mobility, and they died. They were deformed. Well, just imagine if one of those deformed sperm are what end up manifesting in the fertilization of the egg. You're certainly going to have a defective child, or you're going to have a stillbirth or a miscarriage. So the health of the parents is first and foremost, at least with a planned parency. So what I planned childhood. So what I suggested was take a year. If you want to have children, and do everything possible, both at the emotional level and at the physical level, to detoxify, cleanse, and rejuvenate your body. Exercise, have lots of fruits and vegetables, have lots of antioxidants to trap the free radicals, no alcohol, no smoking, no fried foods, no trans fats. All of these can make a difference in your capacity to have healthy children. And every study I've seen, and that's a lot of studies, show that the health of the parents and the behavior of the parents directly impact the child. So, just saying, obese parents end up with, more often than not, obese children. And that causes a shortening of their life. Something simple, all right? And we also know that problems including behavioral, extreme shyness, detachment, depression, to acting out, disrespecting authority, violating social norms, and even aggression and violence. All of those are coming many times because of the parents not being healthy when they conceived. Even IQ can make a difference. Next up, and this is a study from Benson Henry Institute for Mind-Body Medicine. It talks about how meditation can reduce inflammation and alter gene expression. Do you remember how many times I've said that always stay calm wherever possible, even when faced with emergencies? Because becoming hyper-excited and very anxious when you're stressed changes your whole body chemistry and therefore changes your capacity to make reasoned choices. Just pull back. And just say to yourself, calm, calm. And therefore you begin to open up your mind to how to solve the problem without becoming part of the problem. Well, we've all felt the fight or flight response. It's automatic. It's unpleasant. It's a chemical reaction in your body. And it's triggered by stressful situations. And these chemical reactions have a negative influence on our genes and health. But the question remains, can meditation and prayer and yoga give us the opposite effect? The answer is yes, yes, and yes. Research from the Benson Henry Institute for Mind-Body Medicine is showing that repetitive yoga poses, prayer, and mantras can actually help to reduce inflammation and the stress-induced gene expression that can lead to chronic disease. Meditation, yoga, and other spiritually inspired practices can cause the opposite effect of stress. They reduce inflammation and promote positive, health-sustaining gene expression that supports good health. So it's something we have not focused upon in our society, just the opposite. Just imagine watching for a week every reality show. More often than not, you already know what the script is going to provide. In supposed real reality shows where people are not acting out based upon direction, which they do, but suddenly someone says something and then there's an argument, then you said, I said, he said, people start screaming and then using words as if they were daggers and weapons. The whole thing becomes weaponized. Then someone tips over a table, someone grabs someone's hair, someone smacks, someone slugs someone. And think of all the people thinking, well, that's normal. No, it is not normal. Anger is normal. Outrage is normal. But how you express it and deal with it is based upon the conditioning of the individual and what you choose to do. I remember once back during the Vietnam War, and we were marching, and we were protesting, and we had signs that, you know, showed our contempt and displeasure with the war and the meaninglessness of it, and all the soldiers coming home in body bags or injured, some permanently. And we didn't even think about post-traumatic stress disorder because we didn't know about it. We would find that out later. Or exposure to Agent Orange, the defoliant used all over Vietnam, and the sensitivity of our body to become toxic and destroying our immune system. Again, we would find out about that later. In fact, my program was the first radio program in the United States where I did over 100 programs on the dangers of Agent Orange. And the person who was helping me on those shows was a vet from Vietnam, Paul Rudishan. And we would talk about what it does to people when we bring on doctors and other vets, and then ways of detoxifying the body. The things that, you know, we did because that's what we could do. It was within our power. What was not in our power is to stop the war. It lasted much longer and should have and shouldn't have happened to begin with. The so-called experts. Remember the best and the brightest? Remember McNamara, the, you know, slick back, black hair guy who was from, ran the Ford Corporation and was supposed to be the most brilliant guy in the cabinet, but then it was all the people in the cabinet were brilliant? No. They might have been academically achieved and been successful in their career, but they knew nothing about fostering peace. After all, Ho Chi Minh wanted peace. He even constructed the North Vietnamese constitution based upon our own constitution. We wanted nothing to do with him. The entire Vietnam War could have been prevented. Oh, as could all the other wars we've been in since World War II. But we chose otherwise. So choices make a difference. And when you're stressed, when you're fearful, when you're being conditioned to believe that you got to do this, you got to do this now. And then people make mistakes only later thinking, wow, that was the wrong series of choices. So when you're more relaxed, when your breathing is deeper, when you train yourself to ignore intrusive thoughts, that thought's no good. Let it go. Repeat a mantra. I repeat calm. Before I go to bed at night, I just lay down and for about maybe a minute, that's all. I say, calm, calm. And within a minute, I'm asleep, a deep healing sleep. I don't allow thoughts during the day that are not important to come into my mind because I'm focusing on what I feel is important. And therefore, though I have the same number of minutes in an hour, hours in a day as everyone else, it's where your mind is during that time period. So time and reality are connected. In most people, they're not. I'll get to the dishes, but you haven't in 3 days. And now the dirty dishes are overflowing in your sink. And if you went in the middle of the night, you'd see a whole feast of cockroaches eating what you didn't eat. And you're not even going to be aware that they're touching everything, defecating on everything that you can't see, but it's going to be in your body. And that's dangerous. Well, I didn't know that. Yes. Even the cleanest kitchens, you should clean what you're going to use, like a cutting board, clean it down. Bowls and silverware that were out, clean it down. Only takes a minute. Why not make your bed, make it really nice when you wake up in the morning? Say, everything else I'm going to do today, I'm going to do with the same conscious focus. But what if I got up and I had, this problem, that's stress, that I'm not happy about something. You're going to make your bed? Probably not. If you do, it's just going to throw something over the bed. And then what about the rest of the day? Have you ever watched a commercial, and it's virtually every commercial I've ever seen where a guy's shaving, and they're shaving, and suddenly, you know, they stop shaving, and they take a towel and wipe their face. And I'm thinking, why they do that? I mean, who does that? Well, I guess everybody who watches that. Well, first of all, you haven't, where there's still foam anywhere on your face, there's still hair that you want to cut off, but it's not cut off. And that's going to leave that tacky material on your face. Why not just finish shaving so there's no material on your face, and then just wash it off with water? I guess it doesn't seem masculine or something. I don't know how stupid people can be when they're making up these commercials, but they don't realize that all has an impact. And so if you see people going real fast to angry, real fast to pushing, smacking, slapping, cursing, real fast in demonstrations, instead of having a conversation in a civil way to talk about your differences to see if you can change your mind or if someone else can help you change your mind, maybe you're wrong on some issues. How would you know unless someone said, let's talk about this. What of my thoughts do you believe are wrong and why? Give me examples, please. Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe are wrong in your thoughts and see if it makes sense. If it's reasonable, then maybe both of us could change some thoughts, recorrect our perceptions, and have a more conciliatory and abidingly positive association. That happened recently when 3,000 people with really different political views came together to protest the war in. And well, some were also protesting the war in Yemen, which is a major war, far more casualties and destruction, 12 million people starving to death, over 500,000 children dead, and yet they were focused on Ukraine. Good. But they decided that both of them were right to protest together, and I commend them for that. Because too often in our society, we compete for the higher ground morally, and as a result, there's a certain self-righteous and extremely aggressive behavior that if I yell louder than you, if I scream, if I spit on you, I win. If you're quiet, if you can't yell over the mob, then you lose. And that has become everywhere. Watch every morning television show. Those who are politically to the left, those who are politically to the right, everything is condemning the other side. There's no one having that moment. You know something? Maybe there's something to this. Maybe we should think through this. Let's listen and to what they say. Deconstruct it. But first, deconstruct your own emotions and thoughts and ask, am I thinking the right thoughts to get the right outcome? Am I acting in a way that I'm more likely to have the outcome I deserve and want? Or am I acting in ways that could be alienating people? One more today. But remember, meditation also reduces inflammation and promotes positive gene expression. Therefore, how you think, not just what you think, how you process information can keep you calm. If everything becomes a winding you up, tightening you up, tightening your neck, and so you just want to scream, you want to tear someone's head off. Oh, you're killing yourself. Not good. So we've got to learn to control our temper. But more importantly, we've got to learn when not to use our temper, when not to use words as weapons, when to respect that other people can be different, have a different idea, and not feel that somehow they're the other. They're the witch to be burned at the stake. They're the heretic. No. We've been doing everything wrong and we're a highly divided nation now. No, we've jumped the Rubicon and we're not coming back. We're a nation fraught with balkanized ideas. We're tribes functioning almost at the primordial level. And our cells are conditioned not to turn on healing, but rather inflammation is associated with turning off the gene to heal. And we wonder why. We have no energy. The mitochondria isn't functioning right. Insulin secretion is not right. metabolism's not right. Telomere maintenance are switched off when we're highly stressed. You see, that's all happening at a level that you're not aware of. Healthier cellular telomere length allows for longer survival of all diseases, including cancer. And I'll do one more, and because I've gone long on this. Herbal compounds are found to make a difference, especially in, of course, Asian traditional medicine. Very common. Ayurvedic medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, traditional Japanese medicine. So we haven't paid attention, but we should. So there's an herbal compound that blocks the progression of rheumatoid arthritis by inhibiting protein. This is from Osaka University in Japan. Now, we all know that a strong immune system is a definite advantage. Yet sometimes the immune system goes awry and attacks the body. It's called autoimmunity, auto, A-U-T-O, immunity. And it's the cause of various disorders like rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, type 1 diabetes, and celiac disease. To fight these diseases, it is crucial to determine the mechanisms underlying their pathogenesis or progression in disease. In a study published in Science Immunology, researchers from Osaka University addressed this knowledge gap by identifying a protein complex that promotes the progression of rheumatoid arthritis. It's a complex comprising two proteins named COMMD3 and COMMD8. The research team found that that an extract from the root of a plant, colloquial name Thunder God Vine, is a potent inhibitor of the COMM3NA complex. So Thunder God Vine, Thunder God Vine, it's commonly used in almost all Asian traditional medicine. It's not used anywhere in the United States, but you can get it. So if you have rheumatoid arthritis, just understand the good science has shown that it stops the expression of two proteins, COMMD3 and 8, turns them off, so you don't have the arthritis, all right? Something new, something we didn't know, now we do, and that's important. And by the way, you hear me saying that every single day in the morning, after I do this broadcast, I will, and I do a long fast. I might eat my dinner at 5 o'clock and not eat my breakfast until noon. All right, the longer the span, the healthier you become. But you want to make sure you get all your nutrients in throughout the day. You don't want to starve yourself or have one meal a day. That's not good. But according to a study from GreenMedInfo, and he does good work over there, Sayer G. And if you don't know about GreenMedInfo, I suggest you subscribe. But he's talking about eating nuts. Been shown to improve heart health, reduce death from cardiovascular disease. Yeah. And by the way, consuming tree nuts and even peanuts. By the way, peanuts are technically a legume, but nutritionally similar and significantly associated with reduced risk of eating certain cancers and reduced risk of all-cause death. Yes, peanut. Organic peanut butter with no sugar added, no whey protein added, just regular good old peanut butter. And why is eating nuts, a handful of nuts every day, good for you? It reduces your chance of death by 20%. Here are the superstars. And have a different nut each day. Walnuts. All right? Walnuts not only look like brains in miniature, they've been scientifically linked to better brain health. Walnuts are a significant source of omega-3 alpha-linolenic acid, a nutritional requirement for optimal neurological functioning. Moreover, walnuts contain well-known neuroprotective compounds such as gallic acid, vitamin E isomers, melatonin, folate, and polyphenols. And walnuts have also been shown to improve vascular endothelial function, which aids blood clotting, immune function, and platelet adhesion. Oh, it's really good for a lot your microbiome and your intestines. Hazelnuts. When was the last time you had hazelnuts? It has one of the highest ORAC, O-R-A-C, oxygen for O, radical for R, absorbance for A, and capacity for C, ORAC. The higher the ORAC, the greater protection against free radicals. And hazelnuts are the top nut for that. They also contain the highest amount of proanthocyanin concentrations from a tree nut, with antioxidant capacity 20 times, that's 2,000% more potent than vitamin C, and 50 times more potent than vitamin E. Did you know that? Hazelnut-enriched diets modulate oxidative stress and inflammation of gene expressions. No weight gain. So, and it also helps slow progression of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Then almonds. Almonds are a high-protein staple of many athlete and fitness buffs, and for good reason. Clinical studies have shown that almond supplementations 2 hours before exercise can improve performance and endurance exercise in training. All right, they're low calorie and really good for your metabolism, reducing hyperlipidemia. Now, macadamias are one of the best nuts also, because the macadamia nut is rich in reducing the total LDL, the bad cholesterol. It reduces it in men and women. And macadamia nuts are high in monounsaturated fat, similar to olive oil. When combined with a moderately low-fat diet, macadamias have produced beneficial effects on cholesterol and low-density lipoproteins. Pecans, or pecans, in the South we call them pecans, they're demonstrating very high effect on cardiometabolic risk, thus reducing the likelihood of developing atherosclerosis, cardiovascular disease, and diabetes mellitus. Pecans have significant antioxidant activity. They're very high in vitamin E content, and it helps protect against cell damage. They've also been shown to be healthy to your brain and slowing down the progression of motor neuron degeneration. Brazil nuts are one of the best sources of selenium, and we know that low levels of selenium have been linked to fatigue and brain fog, as well as more serious deficiencies like thyroid problems, immune dysfunction, infertility, and cognitive decline. So you want your selenium. Brazil nuts help give you that, helps your thyroid gland, improve blood levels, and glutathione peroxidase. All this. Cashews have the honorable distinction of being anti-cancer. Yeah. Why? Because they have what is called a catechol, C-A-T-E-C-H-O-L, which has demonstrated activity against drug-resistant cancer cell lines. And cashews may also be able to help the body with utero conditions. So pistachios are good for the B complex, especially B6, which is vital to healthy central nervous system function. They promote heart healthy blood lipid levels thanks to their fatty acid content, helps maintain antioxidant, anti-inflammatory activity in your body. Yeah, so there's just some reasons why to have a different type of nut or nut butter each day. Try always getting the raw, organic, and where possible, sprouted nuts. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break and come back with a whole lot of new interesting information for you. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. As you're probably aware, I've been playing different clips in different areas of our life, but something that impacts us directly or indirectly depending upon what choices we've made. Do you remember how everyone who was not vaccinated was attacked by friends and family members and certainly by corporate America and by governmental agencies? Here's just a reminder, a short clip condemning you if you didn't get vaccinated and promising you you'd be protected and non-infective if you did. They were wrong about everything. Now, here's the truth of it, and here's what the real independent science shows, that the tests that we were able to use to determine we had a worldwide pandemic was called the PCR test. The person who developed it, the Nobel Prize-winning scientist, Kerry Mullis, I'd done multiple interviews with, and the longest interview he ever had, an hour and 54 minutes. That went viral all over the internet. And he said very clearly in there, if it's at low repetitions, meaning if you amplify it 13 times, then what you have is something real. But if you amplify more than that, it's just garbage. It's just junk. It will not help anyone. Don't make a diagnosis from that. So what do? We went clear up to 41 amplifications. That's huge, and it's all inaccurate. Even Anthony Fauci said above the mid-20s is worthless. So based upon a completely worthless diagnostic tool used as it was, if it was used at 13 amplifications, it would have been very useful, but it wasn't. Then all those people said, oh, you're positive, but I have no symptoms. I feel good. Well, you're just an asymptomatic carrier. That means that you can infect everyone else in your life. So the New York Times started saying, these are cases. Oh, hold on, a case is where you manifest some symptoms. You have some proof that a person is actually infected, whether they're manifesting symptoms or not. For example, you can't have a full-fledged pneumonia and not have symptoms. You can't have cancer without symptoms or some way of diagnosing the cancer in your body. To be able to see it with a CAT scan or MRIs, we can show whether or not you have the cancer and where it's at. But here was something that we were told, we can't find it in most people, but trust us, the PCR test showed that you have it. But no one said the PCR test is completely a fraud at 41 or 42 amplifications. But the New York Times and everyone says cases, and by cause of cases, then they could come forward and say, worldwide, we have this many hundreds of millions of cases, and it's full. It was all lies. Everything was scientifically inaccurate. But think of all the people that then closed their businesses, wouldn't go out. We treated people who were not vaccinated as if they were living in an apartheid state. They were harassed, and I know people, my own family members, who got all the vaccines. One of them just talked to me yesterday morning. This person is 81 years old, has been a great teacher his whole life, highly recognized, and yet I said, why didn't you just retire? Why did you put yourself at risk? Listen to the show every day. You knew the dangers in these vaccines. Well, and then, you know, peer pressure, and I wanted to stay on a little longer. I mean, I don't think it's a hard decision, your job or your life. And in many cases now, that's what we're saying. And the worst is yet to come. I merely share this with you to show how wrong everyone was. But now we go to step two in the second clip. This is a professor who is talking about ethics and journalism in scientific peer-reviewed literature. We assume that every peer-reviewed article is accurate. That's not true. Dr. Angell, who is now at, or was at Harvard as professor, was the editor-in-chief of the New England Journal of Medicine, one of our most respected scientific journals, and she found a lot of peer review, which is garbage science, couldn't be replicated. In fact, one study showed it up to 60-some percent of peer-reviewed studies could not be replicated. Well, what is the hallmark and gold standard of all science? Replication. So I create something, I publish it in a peer-reviewed journal, but no one else can duplicate my outcomes following my protocol. Then it's junk. Then I've missed something. And that's a lot of science. But we're finding the deep influence of corporations, big pharma, governmental agencies, being able to control the information, especially when it's wrong, but it's to their advantage. So one journal, after reviewing, found that 511 articles published in previous journals all were retracted. They were not accurate. So that's just one journal. How many other journals? I won't read The Lancet now, because of how political it's become. Think of it this way. Do you remember when they were saying that the virus couldn't have come from a laboratory, it had to come from nature? But now, because of Freedom of Information Act, the calls that Anthony Fauci made late at night and into the morning show that the scientists he was speaking with all believed it came from a laboratory leak. Suddenly they got together, they came to a consensus, and now everybody had this big article in The Lancet, couldn't have come from a laboratory. End of story. So if you decided it was from a laboratory, even questioned was from a laboratory, wanted to have a discussion on it, oh, you were a conspiracy theorist. No, we can prove now it came from a laboratory. We have the hard evidence. Well, they were wrong. Did any of those people lose their funding? No, they got extra funding. And what about the 51 heads of all of our intelligence agencies, all the top echelon, all said in a letter that Hunter Biden's laptop was a Russian a hoax? Have they been fired? Have they been condemned? Has there been an investigation? How could all, every single person, our entire intelligence agencies, management, be wrong on something? You can only be wrong that way if you intended to stop any further investigation into Hunter Biden's laptop. So that's not a conspiracy theory. That's a real conspiracy. Where's the media challenging any and every one of those 51 so-called experts? So once again, it's either they're the dumbest people on earth and shouldn't be ahead of an agency that determines our intelligence, but then where were they when it came to Afghanistan and our withdrawal and how quickly the Taliban would take over and all the lives would be lost? They were wrong. Vietnam, they were wrong. Afghanistan, wrong. Libya, wrong. Syria, wrong. Everything you talk about, they're wrong. Why haven't they been challenged by anyone in the mainstream media? Because that's how corrupt we've become. And only through Twitter and releasing the files have we seen how every major agency of government can influence everything on social media and in peer-reviewed scientific journals. They want us to believe their lies. That's how they control us. Because then we think, well, who am I? I don't have their Harvard, you know, PhD in molecular biology. That doesn't mean that because they do, they're right. Please understand, some of the people who are most wrong are also the most credentialed. So we should rethink who we trust and who we believe. Let's take a look at this clip.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us.
People who are incubators for every variant to come, walking around lawfully unvaccinated? That's psychotic.
For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death. For yourselves, your families, and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm.
About this, in a world of threats and tyrants, and terror, you know what our biggest enemy is in America? Our fellow Americans.
But they are the ones that are propagating this outbreak.
Being frustrated that there is still a percentage of the population who are not vaccinated.
I wish that he would go further to restrict the activities of the unvaccinated.
Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
At 25% can cause a lot of damage, and they are.
If you're willing to walk among us unvaccinated, you are an enemy.
Well, you know, it's my rights. Okay. But I don't care.
The pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Well, look, the only pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated. And they're killing people.
Freedom not to follow the facts, even if your freedom kills people? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of freedom do they really want?
We have a pandemic because of the unvaccinated, and they're selling enormous measures.
The unvaccinated overcrowd our hospitals, are overrunning emergency rooms and intensive care units, leaving no room for someone with a heart attack or pancreatitis or cancer.
Shouldn't they have to pay more into the system because they are collapsing our health system? They're the ones in the ERs.
Why are vaccination universally? Have the military run it. If you don't want to get vaccinated, you better be ready to prove your conscientious objector status in court.
Almost like it's going to be two Americas.
I am Dr. John Padfield. I'm a business professor and a former Indiana state representative. And this is Business Reform, where I discuss issues at the intersection of business, health, and the environment. This video is especially important to me. Number one, it's about an important topic. Number two, it's about a big story that took place on September 28th, 2022, although there's a very good chance you've never heard of it yet. And number three, the company at the center of this story is to be applauded for their integrity, for their courage, and for their decisive action to correct a problem that had it gone unchecked, could result in negative consequences around the world for the next two generations. The company I am talking about is the publishing company Hindawi. Hindawi is based in Egypt, but it was purchased in 2021 by the American publishing company John Wiley & Sons. John Wiley & Sons, commonly known as Wiley, is one of the largest publishers of college textbooks in the world, and they are especially well known for their medical and scientific textbooks. Hindawi is one of the world's largest, fully open-access academic journal publishers. Hindawi publishes over 230 peer-reviewed scientific journals on a wide variety of medical and technical subjects, including advances in cell and gene therapy, advances in pharmacological and pharmaceutical sciences, advances in virology, advances in public health, the Journal of Environmental and Public Health, and over 225 other journals. I want to stop for just a moment and explain what peer-reviewed means. When a person or a team has been conducting research, they reach a conclusion, they write an article to publicize what they have been doing, and they submit that article to a publisher for review. The publisher then recruits a small group of peer reviewers. These reviewers are often university professors who are recognized for their knowledge in the subject matter of the article under review. It is the job of the peer reviewers to carefully read the methodology, study the raw data that was collected, review the analysis of that data, and then examine the results and assess the conclusions contained in the submitted article to make sure the conclusions are supported by the data and the analysis. The job of the peer reviewer is to ensure the integrity of the research and protect the reputation of the publisher by either suggesting edits to or completely rejecting articles that contain errors, use poor methodology, or possibly used a biased sample. A common problem with articles is when authors overstate their results. An example of overstating results would be a study in which a nutritional supplement is given to 12 college-age, healthy male athletes, and because it seems to help their athletic performance without causing any medical problems, the researcher concludes the nutritional supplement would be safe and effective for everyone. While that nutritional supplement may be helpful to a 65-year-old man with chemical dependency and liver disease, because no such person was a part of the study, there would not be anything in the study to suggest that that supplement would be safe and effective for that group of people. Or theoretically, another example of overstating results might involve studying the effects of giving a vaccine booster to 8 mice and then concluding that booster is safe and effective for all humans. I couldn't have made that last example up if I tried. While I have never been a peer reviewer for Hindawi, I have a PhD from an R1 research university, and I have served several times as a peer reviewer for another publisher. So I am speaking from firsthand experience about the role of a peer reviewer. Peer-reviewed journals are considered the gold standard in scientific research, and the peer review process is of monumental importance in maintaining the integrity of academic and scientific research. That is what makes what Hindawi just did of such significance. On September 28, 2022, Hindawi announced on their website they are retracting 511 papers published in 16 of their journals since August 2020. In June of 2020, the Hindawi Research Integrity Team identified irregularities in the peer review process in a small number of journals by leveraging new analytical capabilities underlying the reviewer activity database. Hindawi goes on to say that they spotted suspicious activity, and when they began investigating, they found unethical activity among some of the peer reviewers. They also stated, quote, "As our investigation progresses, we anticipate more retractions." I want to make it perfectly clear. I am in no way mocking this incident or trying to portray Hindawi in a bad light. Just the opposite. I absolutely applaud what they have done. They are a role model of integrity.
Now, I can't be live on the air, and are you watching me now through the Zoom call? At the same time, take your calls, and I want to hear from you about all the stuff we're discussing, including the fact that our so-called experts at all of our top agencies have been wrong, at the CDC, the FDA, the U.S. Public Health Service, all wrong. All of our other agencies, the FBI, wrong. the CIA, wrong, Homeland Security, wrong, National Security Agency was spying on all Americans, lied about it. Clapper came before Congress, lied, perjured himself, but Obama changed the rules and no lawsuits, no one was arrested. Wow. After spying on every single American, telling us for a long time, nobody's listening to your calls, nobody's recording, and they were doing just that. So what point do we, the public, excuse me, so here's your question. At what point do we stop believing in the very people who have done nothing to us except lie to us and use this to control us? All right? Just saying. I'd like to hear your input. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Back in a moment, and hopefully with your comments. Your turn. I'd like to hear from you. Give us a call. 888-874-4888. I was asked in just a two-month period last year to be on the board, a peer reviewer on multiple respected scientific magazines. I just don't have the time. However, in all those clips you heard, one of them was Jimmy Fallon, the other clown that all these late-night people who think they're funny, they're not funny. They're not even ironic. And he was saying about how, you shouldn't, if you've been vaccinated and you have a heart attack, welcome into the hospital. If you haven't, too bad, goodbye, die. And Don Lemon was even more lacking in empathy on his comments about if you haven't been vaccinated, too bad, you wait in line behind everyone else who has been. Do you realize how many false articles were published in peer-reviewed literature that was used specifically by people in the media and the government to say it's only the unvaccinated going to hospitals? Their majority, 90% of vaccinated people, are in the hospital and dying. Everything they said was just the opposite. Oh, don't use a horse dewormer. That was ivermectin. Do you remember when I presented over a two-year period, I presented six times hundreds of articles, hundreds from quality studies showing that it saved lives, was safe. I did the same thing for hydroxychloroquine and other nutrients specific to the COVID virus, like zinc and vitamin D3, of course, and vitamin C. None of that was based upon my opinion. All of it was based upon good science, but not once did they find any good scientific articles, even though I sent them off to members of Congress, I sent them off to the different news companies, hoping they would use them. No one did. They went out of the way to cherry pick and find the one article that was wrong about how none of this stuff was any good. It would actually harm you. The trouble is, we don't know now which articles are fraudulent and which are not, unless they're independently reviewed. Now, the Cochrane Group, the most respected independent scientific group in the world, has said there was no difference between those who wore masks and not. But there were dozens of studies, good studies before that, that also made the same claim. So why is it then that the people in the media are not held to account for intentionally providing misinformation from fraudulent journal articles and then not being told, you lied to us, you're smart enough, you're credentialed enough, you're resourced enough to have found the truth? If Gary Nall could find 400 articles showing that ivermectin saved lives, and there were hundreds of medical doctors, all orthodox, all pro-vaccine, who said by using these therapies early on, it saved 100% of their patients' lives, why couldn't you find even one? Why didn't you bring one of those people under the show to talk about this? Instead, they pillared those. The front page of the New York Times, Dr. Malone, who was the developer of the science that led to the vaccine, and an orthodox person who he and his wife both got the vaccines, only when they saw how wrong it was being presented did they challenge it. And for challenging it, they were destroyed. So that's who controls everything today. Remember 51 different, the top agents in all of the intelligence agencies, 17 intelligence agencies, all said that the Hunter Biden laptop was from Russia. It wasn't, and they would have known it. They lied. Any of them been indicted? No. Any of them lose their job? No. They still on MSNBC and CNN? Yes. So I wouldn't believe a thing anyone says. I don't look at the New York Times anymore. I don't watch any of these television programs because I know how compromised the media is. Just saying. I'd like to hear your input, please. Let's first go to Jeremiah from Harlem. Hi, Jeremiah. Your turn.
Pleasure to talk with you today, Gary, and I appreciate the shout-out yesterday. Before I forget, I wanted to ask, is there an email address where you can be contacted directly?
Yes. I'm going to ask Rodney, please send that over, and I will share that with you and the audience directly. All right? So I don't get emailed directly normally. It goes to PRN, and then they send it to me.
Sure.
But if there's something that's important, because I answer a lot of mail. For example, just today, this is a medical doctor. I've spoken with him in the past, and he just wanted to let me know that his wife passed at 1:30 on March 23rd. But it's his last sentence here that's important, because she tried all the chemotherapy, etc. Quote, "It seems the tumor she had took off after she was forced." Not going to let her work if she did not. Despite my telling her not, in capital letters, not to get it, or at least get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that is more physiologic. Have you heard of other cases where a tumor took off and became more aggressive after a COVID or the vaccine, like herpes vaccine? Yes, 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 and yes. There are multiple studies now showing that people whose cancer was in remission and had been for years suddenly became active at a very fast rate and killed them. So yes, that is the fact. Now over to you.
Well, yeah, one thing that I've been saying for this whole period, I mean, well, I shouldn't say for the whole period because the red flags are adding up, but for some time now, is I just have this phrase in my mind, 1,000 red flags and you didn't see one of them. 1,000 red flags and you didn't see one of them. They're all these self-righteous former activists is what I call them. I call them the formerly astute. They have no critique of pharma all of a sudden. They think it's a right-wing statement automatically to criticize Anthony Fauci. My question is, well, what makes Fauci left? Is Fauci left? Is that why the right's criticizing him? Or are they just criticizing the center because the left doesn't exist anymore? The fact of gain-of-function research. I mean, how absurd that everyone's obsessed with COVID. COVID dominated our lives. COVID, COVID, COVID. The news started every night with the COVID report, basically. But we're not interested in where the virus came from. And there's this huge paper trail of this gain of function research, specifically the weaponizing of coronaviruses. And we're not all over that. How could you want a vaccination, but you're not interested in the origin of the thing that made everybody sick and shut down the global economy? I mean, we really, the people who have lived through this, us, we've really gotten to witness the delusional property of the human race. We can't operate on any sort of assumption that we're driven by logic or anything like that. My late father was a psychoanalyst, and he had a saying, which is madness rules. My grandfather on the other side of my family, my mother's father, was a psychoanalyst as well, and he had a saying, which is we live in an open-air asylum. And how right they both were. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, it's so absurd that you could almost just center yourself and calmly say, you know what? I live in a land of absurdity. And you just quietly smile to yourself because you will drive yourself insane if you try to make people who have no interest in facts or logic suddenly interested in facts and logic.
Well said. And to add something on to that, you say there were thousands of red flags, they didn't see one. That's not because they didn't see them. It's because they were not allowed, for whatever reason, self-preservation, self-censoring, to act upon them. We see everything. We hear everything. Then our subconscious decides what we're going to filter to match what we're capable of dealing with and still survive. For example, well, the Chinese weren't doing any gain-of-function research. To the contrary, the Australian great researchers, this woman in particular, she wrote a book on it, how they were dealing in gain-of-function research for weaponization of the SARS virus, and it was being funded by America with 100 Chinese scientists who had PhDs in virology working on that. And now it's been tracked back that those years when it was being developed to be weaponized, we were fully aware of. This just came out today, Jeremiah. This is from Tyler Durden. Quote, unprecedented Chinese genetic experiment may lead to an army of radiation-resistant super soldiers. Quote, reports out of China continue to confirm that scientists there are still seeking to push through barriers with Frankenstein-like experimentation on genes with an eye towards the manipulation of the human DNA. Any and all ethical considerations be damned, what could go wrong? The Hong Kong-based South China Morning Post has a doozy of a headline out this week based upon a breakthrough announcement by a team of scientists linked to the Chinese military working in Beijing. Quote, Chinese team behind extreme animal gene experiment says it may lead to super soldiers who survive nuclear fallout. The project was first unveiled in the Chinese language journal Military Medical Sciences and has been gaining more and more media attention and interest within the scientific community, but is also raising serious ethical quandaries despite the experiment being defended by its overseers as, quote, totally legal. Okay, well, what are the first things tyrants do when they gain power? They make everything they do legal. Every one of the Jews that were persecuted and destroyed were done so under the legal protection of the German Supreme Court. The fact that something's legal does not mean that it's moral or ethical. And the fact that the Chinese have a proclivity for wanting to create something that no one can stop, like a biological weapon or a soldier that wouldn't be killed because of radiation, and that's what this is about. So you're telling me that the Chinese are now coming up with this new type of soldier that you can't kill with radiation, and therefore that allows them to use radiation, that they didn't have anything to do with genetically altering a gain-of-function research when they already had published papers in their own journals, but no American scientist reads the Chinese Defense Agency's research in viral and viral replication of gain of function, but the Australian researchers did. So if an Australian researcher could have found the truth, why couldn't any of the dancing clowns in our American media found the same truth to coincide what you said, all those 1,000 red flags, and they chose to see none? Your final thoughts, Jeremiah?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's right out of a comic book, Gary. It's astonishing. It's unbelievable. One thing that I would like to just throw in there that I would like to be some further discussion on is on the subject of variants, because, we have two heavy hitters in the dissident movement, on the list of outspoken dissident doctors. You have Dr. Gerd Vandenbosch and you have Dr. Mike Eden, the former Pfizer executive. And, Gerd Vandenbosch has been warning about the vaccine escaped variant and how we're driving viral mutation with this, forced global vaccine agenda. But then on the other hand, you have Mike Eden, who is saying variants, that's a bunch of nonsense. And basically saying that, once the bodies come in contact with any sort of, one of these SARS viruses, even SARS-1, that your body is pretty much equipped to deal with, a future variant at that point. So I would love to hear, someone sorting out that.
That's correct. The science shows that if you've been infected, that infection is good right now up for 16 years. All right? Now then build your immune system on top of that, and you're going to make it through fine. By the way, we're out of time, but I had a conversation today with Gerald Salonte, who has a program here on Perion on Wednesdays, preceding mine. I asked Gerald to come on to tomorrow at the top of the hour, right at noon, because I shared something with him that he was not aware of and wants to talk about it. We're going to talk in depth tomorrow about what is our biggest challenge going forward. And I'm going to take you into great depth. I don't care if it takes a whole hour. I'm going to deal with derivatives. I'm going to deal with credit default swaps. I'm going to deal with the infusion of massive amounts of capital into equities And what happens when the dollar no longer is the reserve currency, and I see that collapsing in the next 12 to 24 months, and what happens when the BRIC nations that were 4, now they're at least a 20 and going to 70 when they represent the new currency, the new manufacturing hub of the world will be in those BRICS nations. And the average American is unaware of any of this. So the tsunami is about a mile ahead of us. Don't set and pick up seashells. Look at that 200 high foot wave coming and get out of harm's way. That's tomorrow's program. Thank you, Jeremiah, for being here today. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you, Gary. And Gary, one last thing. Please help Utrecht Lead start a Substack. But also help Utrecht Lead start her Substack.
This morning, Utrecht's blood sugar with no medication was completely normal, 76. Her blood pressure, completely normal, 127 over 72. And she's approaching 70 pounds. And no more kidney failure, liver failure, and no more metastasis in the lungs. That's as of today. We're going to get a full group of blood chemistries, and her physician is getting her the blood chemistries. And she's off all 9 medications, so she's making major progress. How to reach me, Jeremiah, is prnstudio@gmail.com. prnstudio@gmail.com. All right? Thank you all. And now we go directly over to Utrecht's Lead.